You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour three, the final hour of a very long but worthwhile show. We've had some good stuff. Shohei Ohtani talk, a lot of football, the Cleveland Browns. But right now, we are finishing up with some listener questions that have been sent to us. A lot of good ones, a lot of auction, a lot of OBP, a lot of the word, mock and round.
Yeah,
a lot of that stuff. So
mock and roster.
Let's get through a couple more. I don't know if we want to do the whole segment, because we also got some really great player debates out there that I want to talk about. So let's do like three or four more, unless you think we can plow through these.
I think we can burn here. 12-team standard, 5x5 head-to-head with keep four, any four, no value around. I'm keeping Altuve, Arenado, Stanton, and Machado. But another team, not as strong, is willing to give me Archer, Nola, and Hendricks for Machado. I'm assuming that he can keep all of those guys for his Machado.
But he said he can only keep four.
Keep four, any four. I understand that, but I got to assume that if he's doing this trade, he's able to keep all of these guys, right?
I don't want to assume that because, I mean, okay, if it's after the fact they've kept all their guys, who are they again? Archer, Nola, and who?
Archer, Nola, and Hendricks.
I'm just not assuming that because he said...
I mean, why the hell would you do that?
What
right?
Four can I keep? Yeah, I can keep four, but I can get these three stupid pitchers for... Machado?
Yeah.
No, he got too good of keepers.
Let's assume that he now. Okay, so because why the hell would you do that? I'm with you. Keep Machado. Let's assume he can keep those three guys.
Hendricks is blah. I mean, you're doing Archer and Nola.
Archer and Nola for Machado, though?
It's not bad, but I don't know. You could also have drafted them. Like
he
Archer's
said, Robbie Ray is probably the best starting pitcher available, and he picks 12.
Yeah, but see, none of this makes sense. What do you mean you can get these three guys, but you can only keep four? That doesn't make any sense.
I gotta assume that like after keepers or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Just
because,
keep your guys.
To me, it's obvious. You don't do it. So yeah. That's why I would assume.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Boggs and the Welsh.
Hey.
great pod on stats and splits. Love the conversation on advanced metrics with your guest. I ran to my draft sheet and reluctantly faded Schwarber, Puig, Devers, and Hoskins, and happily faded Chris Taylor and Pham. Let me ask you a follow-up question. What skills is a guy likely to learn in the offseason? Maybe like, can Puig learn to hit lefties? And when should I target Boggs' boy, Austin Barnes? I'm high on him. Welsh was making some sweet contact at BP. Killer Pods, the Justin Lee podcast.
Yeah, I absolutely was making some sweet
This is
contact.
The Justin Lee radio show, by the way.
Oh, it's moved over to here. What was the question? I completely zoned out.
He was asking, like, what kind of skills can guys learn in the offseason?
I don't know. If it's they're super right. young, that's it's a completely different ball game. I think there's lots.
Look for guys moving... to different spots sometimes because, you know, we mentioned this earlier. You know, Chris Taylor was god awful in Seattle. He moved to LA and, you know, something changed for him. It was just some tweak that made him into a good hitter. I don't know if it's going to last or if it was, if it was a fluky thing last year or if it was something that he actually picked up. So, but I would say just keep up on. You know, maybe pitchers adding another pitch or something, right? Because other than
that's
can't really tell.
That's a good point right there because Carlos Martinez actually came in just recently and said he has a new pitch. He's got a cutter. So pitchers can definitely come in with new pitches, and that can change up the game. Just a lot of hitters are just there to get reps. Young guys are different. Kyle Tucker is a perfect example. Spoke with him in the Arizona Fall League and how – you know, the year prior, it was kind of like a speed-power combo with a high average. And then this previous year, he kind of sold out, and he acknowledged the sellout. You know, he was lofting the ball, putting the ball up in the air. A lot of the younger guys are, you know, as they're going through their progression, they're learning different tools, and then, you know, it starts to progress into, you know, okay, now I've got my launch angle, this, that, and the other thing. I would say it's minimal for players in the offseason. I don't know, like, Jake Lamb's not going to learn to hit lefties. That's not going to happen. I don't think you're going to learn to hit lefties or learn to hit righties or anything like that. A lot of these guys are just there to get their reps to prep for the season. Outside of a specific thing they're learning and hitting, I'd say it's relatively minimal and not anything I would be looking for.
Yeah, and a lot of times when you hear guys changing their delivery angle or whatever, yeah, it's tougher. It doesn't get solved in spring training. Hey guys, love the pod, and I listen to you a lot. I have some keeper dilemmas and would love your help. I'd appreciate it if you can rank the next sets of players. So the first set, the Welsh, Gohara, Faria, Lamet.
Gohara, oh man.
Lamet, Faria, Gohara.
Lamet, Faria, Gohara.
The Welsh will say Lamet, Gohara, Faria.
No, I'll agree with you.
Lamet, Faria, Gohara.
I'll agree with you. Okay. I mean, Gohara just hurt himself, so he was in a walking boot. So,
this is a saves hold league. These are some relievers: Rivero, Giles, Miller, and Brad Hand. That's a tough one.
Ooh, yeah, because the holds with Andrew Miller.
Andrew Miller goes to the top of the list, right?
Yeah, I think he does.
So Miller, I say Giles, then Rivero, then Hand. I like all those guys.
Yeah, I'm actually good with yours, too. I'm not okay. Rivero's one of those guys that, like, you have to appreciate his numbers and you have to rank them accordingly. I just don't ever own him. I'm more likely to own Giles, so I'll go with that.
Tyon, Gossman, Walker. It's tough.
Tyon, Walker, Gossman for me.
Tyon, Walker, Gossman. I go Walker, Tyon, Gossman.
Okay.
And that is from Asa Fianco in Israel, the Welsh.
Asa Fianco. That's a, like, A-plus name. Holy cow.
Let's see. This one is kind of long, so we'll skip it.
Sorry.
Love the podcast. 12 team, 6x6. Extra categories are OPS and K to walk ratio.
What?
that'd be OPS and K to walk. All teams keep 10 players, no restrictions. I am keeping Freeman, Correa, Ozuna, Buxton, Strasburg, Sale, Martinez. That's 7. Need to pick 3 more out of the following: Sano, Albies, Lucroy. So Albies and Sano are in there. Baez, Kane. I would put Kane in there. So Sano, Albies, Kane right now, right?
Yep.
So Suarez, Zimmer, Cesar Hernandez, no. Greg Bird, no. The rest of these guys, Iglesias, he has, is the next best guy. And this is from Scott in Rochester. But I think it's got to be Sano, Albies, and Sano, Albies, and Kane. And
Lorenzo
Kane.
Kane. Yeah, 100%.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Last one. Okay, I understood Spore and skeptics are running away from Judge, the shoulder, the swing and miss, but my goodness, you guys are high on Blackman.
Black. Why are we high on him?
Now, I guess we're high on him.
No, we're not.
Will you project 320, 35, 25, no concern about his outrageous BABIP or his advanced age? Was last year his career year, or is he the late bloomer slash future Hall of Famer player? You guys are low on Stanton, I think, but that's why we play the games. Welsh is a huge Cubs fan. Love you guys. And this is a second Justin Lee podcast.
That's funny.
He says Daily Jaylee. I like that.
Oh, that's a good tagline. That's a good tagline for his podcast. Maybe it's perspective. I don't have Blackman that high. I have Bryce Harper ahead of him. I've got Nolan Arenado ahead of him, and I've got Goldie ahead of him. So I'm not that high. I mean, I remember
I've been pretty high. I have him 5.
I don't think that's high. I remember we were doing a like way too early mock draft, and Bloomfield, even in the Fangraphs one we did, like he was commonly going 5, and like Bloomfield was like he belongs 5. A lot of people believe he belongs 5. So sure, the BABIP, I think there's regression possibilities, but Colorado is like the chocolate factory for Willy Wonka. Like you walk in and all things are possible.
The joy of pure hitting imagination.
Mm-hmm. And then like the Tijuana guy is the Tijuana bat boy ends up being the Oompa Loompa and everything.
How about this? Stanton over Blackman. Is that crazy? Because I don't think it is.
Great. It happened in one of our mocks, I think. Remember, Stanton went six in our 6x6 OBP league. But that one, it seemed even crazier because, like, Blackman is really high on that.
400 OBP.
Sure, yeah. It's not. It's tough to call that crazy, and I wouldn't call it crazy. Is it something I would do? No, but it's not like Stanton isn't a deserving top 10 pick. And at the end of the day, you know, if you're within four or five picks and a guy goes higher, it's just your preference. That's fine. You know, you'd have taken him if you would take him there. If you had nine, you happen to have six, you really wanted him, it's fine. It's just not what I would do.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at NFBC ADP overall, and it looks like, if it'll load here, it's taking a little bit for me, that Blackman is going at, let's see, five Goldie. He's going actually behind Stanton. So Stanton is eight and Blackman is nine.
I think it's okay. It's just, you know, roto format, Blackman's safe, head-to-head, he provides lots of stuff and things. Points format, I'm going to take Stanton over him, which is,
you know,
fine.
What's crazy? They're, both their highest is 2 overall, and both their lowest is 16.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's okay. Weird.
That is weird. All right, there you go. Good questions from the ITL Ballback. Thanks, everybody, for sending those in and our very timely response on those. But we've got, you know, the off season is tough for us because we've got a set schedule. You know, we did a full week of rank episodes. This coming week, we've got a top 300. We're going to do a draft forum with guests, and then we've got mock drafts, and then we're in the season. So it's hard to get to the ball bag unless we were, you know, doing three episodes, which we should have done more on the radio, but there you go. We got conversations in there. Earlier in the day, Bogman and I put out some tweets of player debates. In style, it's the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates segment, essentially, which you can get on Amazon. Go get it today, $7. And we put out, as we've done, I think for the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've put out player debates just like we do in our book. And we ask you, who would you rather have, this guy or this guy? And we try to go out and get the consensus opinion from the listeners. So we get lots of voting, and we can come back and talk about them. And this time, we kind of went overboard with a whole bunch here. But we've still got two segments coming up here, plus what we have. How do you want to approach? Is there one that you want to talk about first? Because I think we've got six. So each one
Let's
of us.
Let's go first one first here. Let's go Joey Gallo versus Ian Desmond.
Now, is this the one you put out? Let me find it.
Okay, I put that one out. And do you want the voting so far?
Yeah, I see it. I'm there. Well, first off, let's talk about give me the ADPs on those players. And let's set the table real quick.
So Joey Gallo is 108.58 overall, and Ian Desmond is 110.96 overall. And I put them together because they both play first base. They both qualify at first. Now, you can play, you know, Gallo still qualifies at third, and Desmond is going to play in the outfield most likely.
Well, I don't know.
Well, maybe not now. Yeah, I forgot about Carlos Gonzalez. So, yeah, he'll slide over to first, and tough break Ryan McMahon. But
yeah, that sucks too. It's sucky. Here's the problem. Gallo lives in almost that Judge type of world. Like his power is so prolific. He is 100 RBI, you know, 40 plus homer type of guy. He can steal a couple bases. The problem is, like, do you have his stats up right now?
Yeah, I do.
How many runs did he have?
He had 85 runs.
Yeah, the guy's just, he's not, I mean, I'm actually shocked that he was able to get 85 runs with the amount that he gets on base. The guy had more homers than singles last year. He hit like 209. Bogman knows, long storied history of ITL. I love Joey Gallo. I've loved this guy for a long time. He cannot hit at an appropriate level. I do think he's going to hit better this year. I see above 220 average, which would be an improvement for him. The problem is, in so many formats, he sinks you outside of points. This is easy Ian Desmond to me. 2020 type of guy. Only three of them do it at first base. He's in Colorado. This is so easy Ian Desmond to me. I'm actually shocked at the results.
To me, it's not that easy. So I'm kind of not surprised by the results. Look, I like both these guys, but I think, first of all, is there any worry about playing time with all the 8 million outfielders that the Rockies have with Ian Desmond coming in? And because Ryan McMahon can play and he's having a great spring. Are you worried about playing time even a little bit with Ian Desmond, or are you just like, no way?
Sure.
You know, even what they sign Carlos. So because I'm like, there's not much worry with Joey Gallo, right?
No, I guess there wouldn't be. And there's something to be said that maybe Colorado's almost doing their version of a six-man rotation type of thing, where it's like, just have lots of guys that can play first. You know, Parr could play first if they wanted. McMahon can, and then now you have Desmond in the outfield. You've, in theory, have six
Tapia,
options.
Dahl.
Yeah,
right.
Tapia, Dahl, Parr, Desmond, Carlos Gonzalez, Charlie Blackmon. You got all those guys. Yeah, for sure. There definitely is. Read off the results real quick and then finish your statement, and then we'll kick it back when we get out of this break.
Right now, it's Ian Desmond at 52% and Joey Gallo at 48%.
It's wild to me. That's wild that it's that close.
So close. It's just, if Joey Gallo can come up even a little bit on that batting average.
225.
No,
I'm asking you, is 225 the one that where you're like, well, yeah, I'm taking him over because he's going to hit 48 homers?
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, I think 225 is good enough. I mean, look, I don't like to have to adjust on the fly, right? That's not my thing. I don't like doing it. But if I take Joey Gallo and then I take, you know, DJ LeMahieu, I basically split the difference.
That's a good point.
So you do have to adjust when you do stuff like that. But I think it's okay to adjust for all that power, because Joey Gallo could realistically hit 50 homers and no one would bat an eye, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's just...
It's prodigious power. I mean, and that's why you like him. You like him for all that crazy power. So I'm kind of surprised that...
I mean, I like him too, but when you get to that, we get back to this old argument that we haven't really covered a whole lot this season, by the way, is that, do you consider punting? Do you consider punting at this point? Is that something
if,
you could
if
do?
If you are going to punt something, I think batting average is the thing to punt.
It might be, because then you... If Rougned Odor... And I mean, everybody's really back on the table if you don't care about the average, which maybe that's a strategy we haven't talked enough about right now. Punting batting average. I'm just shocked at that, with what it can do, that Ian Desmond is only up by 2%. But we got more, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
That is right. We are always ready to party right here at In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Another place that you can party is with Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going. Right now, free entry March Madness bracket and a Sweet 16 bracket. And Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby this year. I am in. Get me in that. Sign up. Simply sign up and enter at www.fantasyfactor.com. Get me in that. Match Madness.
That strong single that you had during batting practice should show up there, right?
I had a strong double, and one, if it had about 20 more feet on it, it was going over the wall. Just so you know. Picking back up, we're talking player debates, just like our book, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book that you can go get on Amazon for only $7 or our website, inthisleague.com, for $7. Go pick it up today. Get your fantasy stuff going. Even while we were in between stuff, Desmond is only up. We're doing player debates. We had Joey Gallo versus Ian Desmond, and the listeners who have voted, you still have a little bit of time to vote if you're listening to this right now at Is It the Welsh and Bogman Sports, our Twitter handles. And Ian Desmond's only up by 1%. 51% only want Ian Desmond over Joey Gallo, who hit like 209 last year.
Look, I'm going to take Ian Desmond in this, okay? But yeah. I understand the want for Gallo.
I do too. I want him to be better. That's what I want. If Joey Gallo hit 250, he would be a first-round pick.
Yeah, he would be.
He would be a first-round pick. I mean, he'd be a first-round. He'd be Aaron Judge. He'd be deciding between Joey Gallo or Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I don't know if 250 would get him up there, but he'd at least be, you know, he'd be Chris Davis. Same guy.
Yeah, well, better. Chris Davis.
A little, okay, sure, a little bit better. A little bit better than Chris Davis. So Chris Davis, he'd be very stupid. High pick. I don't know if he'd be a first rounder, but he'd be very good.
He's stupid. Whoops, dropped my phone there. Just like me. Chris Davis got me all hopped up. All right, let's go to the next player debate here because we got a bunch of them. This one is a middle infield second base debate, and I like this one a lot. And this is one I tweeted out. Who'd you rather have in standard 5x5, Yomar Cardona,
or Cardona,
the grumpiest human being on the planet with the grumpy face? He's essentially Smiley. Grumpy cat is what he is. It's Ian Happ. So Ian Happ with the Cubs versus Yomar Cardona, standard 5x5. How did you, like, who do you have and how did you see this one going? And then I will say the same and we'll tell the results.
You know, I every day I think I like Ian Happ a little bit more, but he's still Joe Maddon. You know, it's still Joe Maddon, and I don't know when is he going to be in there and when he's not going to be there. So Yomar Cardona has a gigantic ceiling. So he is my guy fairly easily between these two. But in NFBC right now, it's 131.15 to 132.28. Happ is going just a pick ahead of Moncada. So I was kind of surprised by that. The results as of right now, do you want to read them off the Welsh?
Yeah, well, just real quick, I'm with you. Yomar Moncada is a player that Yomar Moncada is.
Yomar Moncada, nah.
I think I want to pair him with any type of format that I'm doing, whether it's points, Roto. I mean, Roto, maybe it's a little bit more questionable. His batting average could be a problem. His strikeouts have been a problem. But he's a speed power guy. Like, blink of an eye, this guy could be 20-20 this year. Blink of an eye, he could be 25-25. And, you know, there is an offense there. You know, if Tim Anderson can get on base a little bit, they got Jose Abreu, Avisel Garcia. You know, God knows the other moves that they could potentially make. They were talking to Moustakas and Carlos Gonzalez before they signed. So, you know, there's RBI potentials. Ian Happ, of course, has been a stud there. But, I mean, the obvious thing is all of the playing time issues that the Cubs would present. And this is just easy, Yoan Moncada. I have him inside my top 100. I'm very aggressive on him. And I'm not surprised by the results, but maybe I thought it might lean a little bit more, maybe Moncada, but it didn't. But Moncada is winning. 54% want Yoan Moncada over Ian Happ.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised about that. I just, Happ to me, I think in a couple years is going to be extremely valuable. And it could pop up and wind up being this year. But I think with what we know about the situations with Happ, not even being an everyday starter yet, and he wasn't last year. He played 115 games, he hit 24 bombs. So this dude, I feel like, is an advanced hitter. He's having a great spring, too. I just feel like they kind of have to get him in. But I'm also worried because Kyle Schwarber has been looking decent, right?
Yeah, skinny.
Yeah, skinny. Stole a couple bases the other day, too. So I don't know if that's going to be enough to not defensively replace Kyle Schwarber at the end of the game or not playing him against lefties. I don't think it is. So I think Happ is going to see a decent amount of at-bats. But I think Moncada's coming into the season with the everyday job, and I just think that he has to be the guy that you lean on there. So Moncada, to me, kind of easy.
Yeah, it's kind of me, too. I mean, the Cubs situation is just interesting. I think at the end of the day, Schwarber and Happ are going to have more at-bats than, like, Addison Russell and Ben Zobrist. You know, that type of stuff, if you want to cue it like that. But they're definitely going to eat into a little bit. I'm a Yoan Moncada, stuff and things, as we would call it. Players that, you know, quote-unquote, get out-of-position stats, or in this case for baseball, it's more about guys that get power and speed. We're looking for that. Let me do this next one that I put out here because I thought this one was interesting, and I'm actually not surprised at the results. I wonder if you are. We pitted two first basemen together, and what I love about this one is you've got one guy who has really been good for many years but has just fallen off and was awesome last year. And I'm referring to Ryan Zimmerman. He was freaking awesome.
So good.
It was great. He was such a value that you got later on. And, you know, that move from third base to first base has been fantastic for him. And he's in one of the best lineups in baseball in Washington. Yet he still doesn't get the respect. It's better than last year, but it's still not great. Pitted up against one of the most hyped first basemen, a player that I think a lot of people would skip first base on to take around the 140s or 50s, Greg Bird with the New York Yankees. The results, I'm going to just give the results right now. 62% want Greg Bird over Ryan Zimmerman. I at 38% for Ryan Zimmerman. I'm actually shocked by that. I mean, I'm not because of the hype, but like just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and to me, I think the biggest shock is in NFBC, Ryan Zimmerman is going ahead of Greg Bird.
I'm not shocked about that.
I am in NFBC because it seems like in NFBC, you take more swings and misses because you're trying to get that overall prize, right? And I think that Zimmerman, while sure he has an injury history, which can catch up to him, but didn't last year. And we saw, you know, I mean, he had an incredible year last year. He hit over 300 with 30 homers. I'm a little bit surprised by that. I feel like in most of the leagues that you draft that Greg Bird is going to go way ahead of Zimmerman, though?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and the cost on Greg Bird is not cheap anymore. I mean, right, and rightfully so, because, you know, people have talked him up. The projections are interesting. I don't know if you've looked recently. Steamer's a little bit, I would say, I'm not going to call it down, but they're just not aggressive whatsoever. Hitting 252.
Well, they're not aggressive on
I know they are, but like you go look at depth charts, and depth charts is like 92 RBIs, 31 homers, but the lowest average of 246. I just don't see the difference, which actually this could be the counter to drafting him. I don't see the hype difference of him to like guys like Justin Smoke or Matt Olson's or Ryan Zimmerman's. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman, let me look at Ryan Zimmerman's projections real quick, and then because I cut you off before, because I look at, why is it? All right, there you go. I look at, you know, 26 homers, 246 with 75 RBIs that Steamer has, and I don't look at that like overtly impressive. But Steamer's not that crazy on Ryan Zimmerman either, but his average is about 20 spots higher than him. 24 homers, 74 RBIs, but hitting 269. Nice.
Yeah, so I guess the point I was trying to make here was that I feel like, well, I have Greg Bird ahead of Zimmerman in my ranking, so I don't want to be a hypocrite and sit here and say that I would take Zimmerman over Greg Bird because I'm so surprised by this. But I would say that in my drafts, I'm more likely to own Zimmerman than Bird because I feel like Bird in what we've been doing has been going much higher than Zimmerman. So I feel like if I had the opportunity and they were both sitting there, I would rather take Greg Bird. But I think in most cases I can get Zimmerman a round or two at least after Bird. So I would be more prone to take Zimmerman.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I guess I just look at this and I think like, where are the Roto people? You know, don't you think the Roto people might want to go more Zimmerman? There's a safety option. He's not going to sink your average. Bird definitely has more of the, quote, you know, the home run appeal. And I'm not just talking his home runs. But, you know, you could hit a homer with drafting him at 150. And what is his ADP right now?
144.
Okay, so I'm like right there. Like, you know, in the 140s with a guy who's hitting in New York and hitting around Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. Yeah, sure, he could hit 38 homers this year and have 100 RBIs. I just like, I can't ever get over just seeing him in person and how big that swing gets. And I just don't see how he's ever going to hit better than the 250, 260 mark, which is still great. You know, I mean, like we said before,
yeah,
Jesus,
Joey Gallo,
if Joey Gallo could hit 260, we would be in a whole nother conversation. But I just see more of a safety net. Like these players both play for amazingly great offenses and are going to have great opportunities. But Zimmerman to me isn't a guy that's going to lose that job, and he also holds he's got the floor. I think Greg Bird could lose that job if things went awry. I really do. Greg Bird could go 190 for the month of April.
Yeah.
And they could be look at Aaron Hicks, by the way, people forget they worked Aaron Hicks out at first base, and they have got a problem with Jacoby Ellsbury getting playing time. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. So especially if I could get Zimmerman around later or something like that, I'm easily going Zimmerman. But I'm just shocked 62% want Greg Bird. I thought it might be more like 55-45.
Yeah, while I'm not too surprised by the results, I think the thing that surprised me the most is because you see this, and then you go to NFBC and Zimmerman is still ahead of Bird. So
yeah,
just a little bit surprising. Why don't we move to a pitcher one, the Welsh? Are you ready for that?
Yeah, let's save the trio because we got a trio one. Let's save it for the last segment here. But yeah, I like
teammates.
This other one.
Ooh, let's do teammates. Dallas Keuchel versus Gerrit Cole. Right now, Keuchel's going off at 77.47, and Gerrit Cole is dead at 78. So
by the way,
only player between them is Roberto Osuna.
Do you still have a problem when you see Gerrit Cole remembering that he's an Astro? Like, there's that. You want to know what's actually funny to me? There's actually a part of me that like sees Gerrit Cole as a Yankee, like not a Pirate.
No, I don't really have that problem.
I do. I got problems. It's a heady problem.
Who do you have? Because I got Cole fairly easy.
In this one, I voted for Cole on this. But I'm trying to think of my ranks. I think I've got them just a dead heat close. And I got a problem with Keuchel. I mean, it stems from Keuchel is kind of the last. Actually, I might have Keuchel over Cole. Maybe I need to rethink my ranks, not just what I voted for. But
right,
my problem with Keuchel stems from, like, he's the range where I start to not feel comfortable if he's my number one. Like, there's other guys. Like, I got to have Chris Archer. If Keuchel's my number one, I don't feel comfortable. To be honest with you, I think Keuchel's a very safe number two if you want him. I think these guys are both very similar, but if I were looking, I guess, for more ace fantasy potential, I might look at Gerrit Cole, but that's just not even fair because, I mean, Dallas Keuchel has been awesome. Maybe not last year, but the year before that, he was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he won a Cy Young before, you know, in 2015. 2016, he slipped back down, that ERA going up over 4.5, and then last year he came back to a much better pitcher, ERA of under 3, 14-5 record, a bunch of quality starts and stuff, lovable xFIP here at 3.32, but he only had 23 starts. So 26 starts the year before, 23 starts last year. And I think that's kind of where I start to slip on Keuchel a little bit. And, you know, Gerrit Cole has all kinds of potential, right? We've heard this for a million years with Gerrit Cole. This is going to be the year he comes into the Cy Young running. And it's because of that big 2015 where he won 19 games. He was 19-8 with a 2.60 ERA, a 202 strikeout season, but he never performed like that before, and he hasn't since. Last year he was good, but he still had his highest ERA that he's had and his second highest whip that he's had. So I think I am excited about the change in scenery for Gerrit Cole. So that plus the fact that he's played, 33 games. He started 30 games and 33. He did in 2016 slip down to 21, but he's been fairly healthy in two of the 3 years. I think that's what's going to put me over the edge with Cole over Keuchel.
I can't get over, I look at this, when I think of these guys as Astros, can you think of the trio, by the way, Verlander, Keuchel, Cole? Is there anyone better?
It's going to be great.
Is there anyone that's better?
I don't think so.
83?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the Cubs are pretty good. Cubs have a good staff. But
Darvish,
no,
who's their staff? No, they don't.
Lester.
Darvish, Lester, and Hendricks? Ugh.
Yeah, Hendricks is pretty good. How much better is Keuchel than Hendricks?
I'd say
they're both. I don't know. They're both kind of the same type of guy. Keuchel is.
It's just it's incredible there. Yeah, I mean the strikeout potential is what holds Cole there. I think it is close, very close, and I'm not surprised this is 55-45. That might be a little bit closer. I think Cole kind of steadily wins this one.
Well, especially because Keuchel's going ahead of Cole.
Yeah, I mean, from a value perspective, and that's more of where my argument or my take comes more into play is that, like, I'm most likely the guy that's going to own Gerrit Cole out of these because Keuchel might go in drafts I've seen. He might go around before Gerrit Cole, and value is very, very important there. So we've got two more debates here that'll be good. We teased earlier we got an NC Arte debate, which it's more about the ADP that you found, which made it very, very interesting. And we've got a triple threat match of starting pitchers, and the results are very, very interesting on how we did it. And these are guys that are, one guy doesn't have a job and two other guys are relatively ranked close. So I'm excited to talk about that one. And while you guys are at it, if you're enjoying the player debates, this is the concept of the book. This is what we do. We pit two players up against each other that maybe have a similar draft range, or maybe they've got kind of a similar, type of person that people want to take, but maybe they're spread apart. All of those judged by really good professionals around the industry. And Bogman and I, we put the takes together. So you get 99 of them, plus some ranks, all for your fantasy baseball drafting season. So don't go anywhere. We got one more segment, more player debates, more conversation from Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, in this league. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
In the dark, in the day. Doesn't matter where it is. That's how we roll fantasy baseball drafts. Go get the book, get yourself prepped, and listen to all the podcasts we got in this league. That's where you can search on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. We will be there for you. The Fantasy Baseball Podcast twice a week. We got right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network 3 hours. That is guaranteed over probably 4 hours. I was about to say 5 hours, but we don't always talk fantasy baseball. But you're going to get like 4 hours plus of fantasy baseball talk during the season. I mean,
lots of it. That's for sure.
That's pretty good here. And there's always more. You can hit us up on the Twitter handles. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Or you can find us over at the ITL Army, where you can go as far as really gaining access. You're essentially on our phone. We're not giving our phone numbers, but you can join in our GroupMe chats, where we have got rooms on every single sport. And believe me when I tell you, it is safe to say we've got over, what did you say, 40 rooms?
No, tons of rooms.
We got lots of rooms with our listeners. Great conversation and very, very, very good for your draft prep season. The baseball room is popping off and there are questions night in and night out with debates and people are answering questions. It is a very helpful tool and you can check that out. So we're back for the final segment. Doesn't 3 hours go so quick?
Goes pretty quick, man.
Yeah.
Very fast. Especially when you talk about Darius Geis and all those Browns moves.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think the Browns were the ones that asked him, do you like men?
No. For as dumb as they've been, I don't think they would be that dumb.
I wish the guy asked it.
And
like,
I don't think that is a, hey, let's put this in the book to throw him off. I don't think that's a bunch of people making that decision. I think that's one idiot.
The one thing I could wish for is with the guy, when he asked Darius Geis, he did it like, do you like men? Manly men in tights. Like, that's what
tight,
I want.
Tight tights.
That's, if he asked it like that, it's all good. It's the best question
ever. Well, at least he could speak in a British accent, unlike some other Robin Hoods.
Yeah. It's so good, right? It's so good. What was the last
Abe one? Lincoln. You remember? Hey, Blinken. Abe Lincoln.
Hey, Blinken. Yeah.
No, hey, Blinken.
Such a good. That was Dave Chappelle, right?
Yeah, that was Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, Men in Tights. Great movie. Go check it out if you you youngins haven't watched it. So we're back and we're talking fantasy baseball player debates. We're prepping you for your fantasy baseball season. That's what it's all about. That's what the book's about. And that is what we are trying to do. We've had some really good ones. So if you missed any of it, you can go back and listen on demand over at fantasysportsnetwork.com. We talked Joey Gallo versus Ian Desmond. We've talked Garrett Cole versus Dallas Keuchel. Ryan Zimmerman versus Greg Bird and Moncada versus Happ. Let's get mine out of the way because I think it's a little bit less interesting than the third one. But what is interesting about it is more of what you found in the ADPs that these guys were closer to each other. And I got to tell you, this is one that I thought was going to be way more landslidey than it is. Now, it is paired to the player. Now, the two players are Ender Inciarte with the Braves versus Eddie Rosario with the Twins. And I'm going to give you the score right now. 59% to Ender Inciarte. But I am actually surprised that 41% want Eddie Rosario over Inciarte. Are you?
I'm not that surprised. I'm a little bit surprised. I had to look at my rankings because I knew I had Inciarte because when I saw this and Inciarte is going off at 121.6 on NFBC, Eddie Rosario 122.7. So within a pick of each other. But I was kind of surprised that I had Inciarte only two spots ahead of Eddie Rosario. So I just think that when you look at this one, while Rosario did have the 27 bombs last season, and he had 9 stolen bases, so he's no slouch. He hit .290 also. That's really good. But those 22 stolen bases from Ender Inciarte are just so much harder to come by, especially at this point in the draft. A lot of the stolen base guys are already gone, or they come with different issues. You know what I mean? They come with injury history, or they come with age, or they come with nothing else. Like Delino DeShields has a lot of steals. He's going off further, but he doesn't hit for power at all. He's not going to drive anybody in. These guys are more complete because Inciarte is a double-digit home run guy, and Eddie Rosario has a potential to be a double-digit steals guy too. So I'm not that surprised that both of these guys were ranked so that I had them ranked so high after I looked at it. But to me, I kind of instantly thought, well, this is clearly Inciarte.
Yeah, that's how I approach it. I was just like, well, this is going to be easy. This is like easily going to be Inciarte. I thought it might be 80% because I also think there's just an overall like name value that gets attached. And Eddie Rosario just kind of sits under the wing. He's like Eddie Rosario is like the Ryan Zimmerman of those type of guys. You know, like he is consistent, but he doesn't get the proper praise. So maybe even more so, that's a reason. It moved a little bit more. Inciarte only 48%. So a lot of Eddie Rosario fans out there, which I can appreciate.
I think also this could be just a factor of what you've drafted in your outfield beforehand. So if you've taken like Lorenzo Cain and Andrew McCutchen, maybe you want to go and grab Eddie Rosario because you already have a little bit of speed. Maybe now you want some of that pop. If you've taken guys like, you know, Chris Davis and, you know, I don't know, Ryan Braun or somebody, maybe you want to add the speed with Ender Inciarte. So it could just be a position of what you need at that point in the draft, too. So
great point. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. This last one here on the player debates, this is a triple threat match. And I like this one that Bogman put together because I think these guys are very intertwined in their ranking, and they're very different. Every perspective of these guys is very different. So let me lay out who the three players are, and then let's not give the percentages yet. Let's talk about them. Here are the three. You've got number one, David Price. So David Price obviously had a wretched and horrible season last year with the Boston Red Sox. Forgettable. But as he's working himself back. Yeah, he's hurt. He's working himself back. He's become a very popular option. I own a lot of shares of David Price right now.
I own a couple, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been a guy that you and me have both been drafting. But he's also very, he's not the only one on this list, though. He's very much part of my strategy in drafting where I want to take later pitching. And guys like Price or the next guy I'm going to talk about, they've got a lot of upside in just past performance. So you've got David Price versus the other guy, Jake Arrieta, who at this moment that we're talking to you has not signed with a team. And that, I think, is going to hold him back a little bit. There's some concerns there and maybe diminishing stuff a little bit. I think he had a stronger second half last year after a subpar first.
Yeah, yeah. He was much better in the second half. And it's just difficult to know about Jake Arrieta before he signs. And, I think Jake Arrieta is disappointing because he came off that amazing year, and he's kind of had two down years now.
And people may be assuming that's just all that he is. Versus the player that everyone's ready to take another step forward, and that is Jose Berríos. So you've got, you know, the older guy, the guy that had a really horrible season, hoping for a return, the player that has had an okay season but still doesn't have a team. And we've talked about if Arrieta were to go to, like, the Nationals, I mean, his rank and value boosts up.
Or, you know what, take a team that's not as good, but the ballpark at San Diego.
100%, and that has been kicked around, versus Jose Berríos, who some think he is overrated right now, but he's also become a very popular option, especially if you can get him as like an SP3. So we've got those three guys pitted up against each other. Do you have their ADPs?
Yeah, so this is NFBC once again, and it is going off at Price is 104.96, Arrieta is 105.3, and Berríos is highest out of all of them, 104.32.
I'm actually surprised Berríos, is Berríos above those two, did you just say?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's 104.3. It's, you know,
but it's by barely
0.6 of a pick and one over Jake Arrieta. They're all very, very close.
I actually kind of thought Arrieta might be first, followed by Berríos and then Price on that list, but they're all just so close. On this,
I'm looking at Fantasy Pros rankings.
Okay,
you want to take a guess how it goes in the rankings?
I'll bet
and then
you
I'll look at the ADPs.
I'll bet you it goes Arrieta, Berríos, Price.
Goes Price, Arrieta, Berríos.
Really?
Yeah, that's rankings. I'm going to look at ADP while you're talking.
Okay. Well, these guys, and that's, by the way, my ranking of this is Arrieta, Price, Berríos. At one time, I did have Berríos over Price. You have Arrieta, Price, Berríos?
Yep.
Yeah, that's that. We have the same thing. Well, that's why we own share. I own a lot of shares of Arrieta and Price right now across some of the leagues because Arrieta has come at a value because he doesn't have a team and he just keeps falling. David Price also, he's just kind of an afterthought. You know, he's one of those afterthought guys, and it just works well for a lot of teams that I'm constructing. So what do you have on ADP?
So ADP, it goes Arrieta, Berríos, Price.
Okay, so that's what I thought, and that's how the all-encompassing one. So, okay, so you said you've got Arrieta, Price, Berríos. Is any of it hardcore? Like, are Arrieta and Price a tier above Berríos? Or
yes.
Okay,
yes,
they are.
To me, they are. Like, look, I think Berríos can break out, and I would not be surprised by it at all. But you know, especially with starting pitchers, I want to see it before I believe it. And he had a horrendous second half. His ERA was up over 5. And that's always a little bit concerning. You know, when you're talking about half splits, I would rather see the back half get better than the front half, because the back half getting better means he made adjustments. But when it gets worse, it means he was adjusted on, which means he has to once again overcome that kind of stuff. So still, he's still, you know, like I get it why people are taking him for the hype, but Arrieta is a steady Eddie to me. And the only reason that I have Price below Arrieta is because of his arm stuff. So I'm still not quite 100% sold, but you know, I mean, I wasn't on Tanaka last year, and Tanaka was fantastic. So.
I mean, I think I've got a team where I've got Arrieta and Price. Fantastic. Yeah, not fantastic, but I think I've got a team that might have both of these guys. Now, here's the voting, and this one has been voted on the most above all the debates we've talked to you about. We've talked to you about 5 others. The leader right now is David Price at 37%.
In a row.
The loser right now is Jake Arrieta at 30% and Berríos at 33%. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs. It's essentially a three-way, you know, a three-way tie for all intents and purposes. But I am shocked that Arrieta is the bottom B of this. I think if he's on a Nationals, I think Arrieta goes up to 40% on this.
Yeah, me too. You know what? And I also think if he goes to the I almost said the Chargers, the Padres, the Chargers, who are not even in San Diego anymore. If he goes, winds up with the Padres, I think the same deal.
I agree. He's
moving way, way up.
What if he's with the Phillies? Are you going to dig him that hard?
If he's with the Phillies, I think I might take Price over him. Maybe. It just makes them closer to me. They're already fairly close. But no, you know what? He doesn't have the injury stuff that Price does. So I think I'm still taking him.
I'm still there. What do you think? Give me a rough estimate on projections. Give me the projection you want to hear. You want to hear Zips, Fan, Steamer, or Depth Chart?
I always go with Steamer.
Okay, let's go Steamer. We're going to talk Jake Arrieta, Steamer. They don't know the team. What do you think win-loss record they've attached to him?
I give him 13 wins.
11 wins, 10 losses.
Okay.
Give me his ERA. Last year, he had a 3.5 ERA with the Cubs, a 3.10 with the Cubs in 16, and a 1.17 in 15.
3.7.
That is close to what Fans and Zips has.
Steamer, have him at
4.19.
Okay.
They are out on him. They got him just above an 8K per 9. Every other projection is like about 8.5, about a little over 3.5 on the ERA, and they're all about 29 starts on him. They're pretty out on Arrieta.
Yeah, I feel like that's high. Feel like that's very, very high.
You want to compare? We'll compare. David Price, what do you think the wins losses are on Steam?
I'm actually looking at David Price, so I see it. It's 13-8.
You son of a bitch. Yeah. but are you surprised at all that he destroys every single projection David Price does, destroys Arrieta, yet ADPs on Fantasy Pros, Arrieta is going ahead, and you and I just said we're taking him ahead? Because I don't buy those projections. And
yeah, that's why I'm not the biggest guy on projections, is because, you know, where do they come from? I know it's a formula. They're not pulling them out of thin air, but when a guy hasn't signed yet, and when you're making these projections, and it's tough. It's hard to make projections for a guy that hasn't signed yet. So I understand that. But you don't know that the Padres have been talking about him. You don't know that the Nationals have had him in their discussions. So it's tough to make a projection like that. But I'm kind of surprised to see, David Price throwing 180 innings with Steamer, who is fairly conservative on most things.
Yeah. Well, there you go, my friends. By the way, I just saw this note come up. 49ers courting Richard Sherman.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that too. And by the way, Barrios, Steamer, 10-10, 160, and a 4.56 ERA.
All this news coming
well
out.
Well behind.
Well, if you guys are prepping for your fantasy baseball draft, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe sometime next week or the following, and you need to get it set, maybe you're going to get a draft guide, maybe you got a couple, maybe you got the paper one, or you went and got our buddy Joe Pizapia's the Fantasy Black Book with Spore and Sealy. All those things are great. But we've got the ultimate complimentary piece, and that's our book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. We'd appreciate it if you guys supported our work. It's only $7. I promise you, I shouldn't promise you, because you just might not like us and you might not like it, but I think you'll like it. And a lot of people have, and we've gotten some great reviews on it. It's a unique, completely different take on fantasy, and I'm pretty excited for everybody to check it out and love hearing their responses. And if you guys are looking for, you know, those hand-on type of looks from spring training, make sure you're tuning into the ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast, as we will give you takes. I, momentarily here, I'm going to be out at Rangers and A's. I'm going to be a little spring training today. Rangers and A's. You're going to be at work? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going on Monday.
Who are you going to go see?
I think I'm going to go out to Maryvale and see the Brewers.
Oh, I want to go see the Brewers. I want to go see Yelich. So we're seeing these guys in person. We're giving you our takes, and minor league camps come up too. So if you want some baseball prospect stuff, check out Prospect One. I'll be talking about that. We got it all going on. Go over to InTheSleague.com. You get hooked up with everything we got jamming. Otherwise, you guys know where to find us right here every weekend on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can even get a little bit more of In This League overtime during the week. So for Scott Bogman, I am the Welsh. This is In This League, and I hope you enjoyed it listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Peace out.
See ya.